Hello, everyone. This is March Twisdale, and I'm not doing prose, poetry, and purpose today. I am beginning a new series called Focus on Vashon. I did a Focus on series a few years ago, and it was really great. Went on for about 8 months, and then I sort of retired that show, and now I'm bringing it back because there's a lot happening on our island, and I want to create space for us to be able to talk about it and exchange ideas. So you are listening to 101.9 FM, KVSH, LP, and that is Voice of Vashon here on our beautiful island. And today I am going to be interviewing Dr. Marley is how I know her, but what's your last name?
Parabek.
Oh, wow. Parabek?
Yes. In Polish, it means farmhand. So how ironic that I live
On Vashon. Okay, Parabek. Okay, that's awesome. And okie doke. So we are going to go ahead and dive into your intro here in a second. But I just want folks to know that this interview is designed to open up conversation about a topic that is to a degree sort of being suppressed on the island right now, in that a lot of messaging is out there suggesting that we don't have a right to think about or speak about this, or that if we do offer an opinion, that we are somehow bad people. And we are not. We are all awesome human beings, and we all love our island, and we all have not only a right, but also a responsibility to pay attention to what's going on and participate as much as we're able in the creation of what this island will look like in the future. So how about you go ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are, and then I will delve into the beginning of the topic.
Thanks so much. My name is Dr. Marley Parabek, and I am a nurse practitioner. I'm board certified in family practice and psychiatry. I have been a nurse for more than 20 years, which means technically I started at the age of 12. Insert joke. my husband Thomas and I, we moved to Vashon 3 years ago. I have a private practice on the North End, and I'm also practicing psychiatry with a contract for Vashon Youth and Family Services. Thomas and I are empty nesters. We've been coming to Vashon for the past 10 years as the beloved day trippers.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've lived here long enough, I can say that I, too, am annoyed by day-tripping traffic, lines at the Snapdragon, the uptown congestion that is at the farmer's market. But I realize they have a purpose, and that I am a recovering day-tripper.
There we go, right?
Yes, after a year of looking for a home and fighting off Californians.
Ah, yes.
Yes, yes, who would literally arrive to the scene with a bag full of money.
Right.
One of my favorite house-finding stories is when we were outbid by $50,000 cash from a lovely Californian couple who shall remain nameless and shameless.
Oh, wait. You mean like they got the house?
Oh, yes, yes.
So they're here. You get to glare at them when you run into them at Thriftway?
Oh, no. Actually, I saw them at Ace Hardware.
Oh, okay. And, that's good.
Yes, true story. I knew who they were because she went up to the counter and said, "Do you have any of these things here? We had them in California."
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yes, we have coat hangers.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. So, long story short, Thomas and I have been able to buy our dream home, a beautiful mm-hmm. view of the mountains and the water. We've been enjoying all the things that make Vashon, Vashon.
Right.
Been crabbing, picking blackberries, cutting down blackberries.
Oh, yes.
Feeding the deer, chasing the deer. We are all in.
Feeding the deer and chasing the deer. What do you feed them? Do you feed them on purpose, or do you feed them because they take what they want?
Well, I feed them on purpose because there's no better way to get rid of that rotten cantaloupe. And I do love to toss them plums and watch them eat the plums. They're absolutely adorable. I know they're pests. However, I must admit my real goal is to someday open the K2 factory and make it into a blackberry jam, raccoon hat, and beer jerky factory. So just so you know, that's my world domination.
That's the plan. Yes.
That's what I'm going to do.
Well, okay. Well, next time I have a coon, I will go ahead and offer it up if you want to start practicing your hat making skills. Yeah, we do have to deal with raccoons on a regular basis because we happen to have raccoons' favorite snack known as chicken. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it's actually funny. I don't see the deer as a pest. I mean, pest is such a word. Pest is basically, from the human perspective, I dislike this. Oh, I will spray Roundup all over the world to kill dandelions, right? Because we've called it a pest. Meanwhile, it's really actually like a superfood and an anti-cancer fighting food, and it's a beautiful little flower. But the deer, for me, yeah, what they do is they make me feel a little bit less anxious when my cats are wandering around, because if the deer are on my property, it means that the coyotes are not in my area. So the coyote pack that I live within, you know, that claims me as part of their territory, they have like this rotation, and I can tell by the behavior of the deer when they're in the area, when they aren't. And it's about a 8 week rotation, 8 to 10 weeks. And all of a sudden the deer are gone for about 2 weeks. And then the deer come back for about 7 to 8 weeks and they're gone for 2 weeks. It's this whole thing.
Huh.
It's really interesting. Yeah. So for me, I look out and I go, oh, I got like 5 deer out there. Okay, cats, you can go. Poof. And out they go.
Yes, because the cats are the coyotes' favorite food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Whenever I see a lost kitty sign, my mind automatically translates it into coyote snack sign.
Yes.
Yes. It's sad. Alrighty. So, people weeples, we are going to talk about many things today, but the umbrella concept is the Thunderbird facility that has been proposed to replace the VCCC, which was our island's care facility for the elderly, people who needed residential live-in situations for a long time. If you want, you can go check out the Beachcomber and, you know, go on their website. And they actually have an article from a number of years ago. I think it's when they announced that the VCC, which was previously called the VCCC, when they announced that it was closing, they also gave a history of the facility. And it actually goes all the way back to, I think, 1924, or maybe a little bit earlier. Very interesting history. So for a very long time, our island has had a need that we have attempted to fill. And that's a little bit what we're going to be talking about today. Is this is Vashon Mori Island. And we develop our community infrastructure to support the needs of our residents. And the VCC, for example, community care, what was the full Vashon Community Care Center? That's when
that
it was a CCC.
Year.
Yeah. That existed and had been partly created through local island fundraising efforts in order to meet a need, which since they closed, all of the people on the island who had been there and who become older and need consistent care and can't live on their own, they all have to leave the island now, unless someone comes and stays in their home with them. But for people who don't have that as an option, I happen to know someone who goes off island once a week to visit someone who used to live at the VCC. And she said that when she was here, many of her friends on the island would come by like on a weekly basis and visit her. And when she got relocated, my friend who visits her once a week is like the only islander who makes the effort to go off island to see her. So this is why it was such a need, because if you have to leave, suddenly you're in a lot of stress and you're isolated and you're alone and people who love you can't get to you easily. That's a real need. But there's this Thunderbird facility, and you are here today because we want to speak about the facts. And by this, I don't mean statistics that prove a point. No, we're talking about just reality. Specifically, our island has unique conditions that are different from the mainland. And those conditions have effects on a facility such as Thunderbird. why don't you go ahead and share maybe like your primary number one concern about the placement of the Thunderbird facility on Vashon Island. But first, for people who aren't familiar, let them know a little bit about what Thunderbird is.
Absolutely. So I'll start by saying, you know, why do I have a professional opinion on this? And that is because I have managed an inpatient detox center and an inpatient psychiatric hospital, both of which were inland in the lower valley into the Yakima Valley on an Indian reservation. So not only have I operated a facility that was a medical detox counseling center and a psychiatric facility, I have also worked extensively with the Native American population. I was the psychiatrist for the Yakima Nation for 7 years. Mm-hmm. So I am steeped in knowledge and experience firsthand of what it takes to make any sort of a mental health, psychiatric, and medical detox center successful.
Right.
So what that entails is not available on Vashon.
Right.
There are so many working parts and resources that we do not have here that makes this facility an impossibility. If we think about the demographics, on Vashon, we don't have consistent ferry service. Someone who is in a mental health facility or a drug and alcohol treatment center needs access specifically to 24/7 medical care, psychiatric, and that's not even touching the fact that there will be medical and psychiatric emergencies. And that type of incident cannot wait 10 to 15 minutes for someone to arrive. It needs to be there on the scene, let alone hours and hours. Right. I would address the fact that we have limited resources with limited fire engines, paramedics, no urgent care, no emergency room, and no crisis responders. It's a round peg in a square hole. And I question, you know, why are we being forced to have this discussion? You know, mm-hmm. We on Vashon have never asked for this sort of facility to be built because we would not ask, because we know from living here that we can't support it.
Right. So on Vashon Island, obviously, let's sort of drill down into all these sort of different aspects. So Vashon Island has people who have mental illness, and it has people who have drug addiction conditions and things like that. And you were talking with me earlier a little bit about, when it comes specifically to the people who are dealing with drug addiction, the sort of the normative patterns of how those people relate to treatment centers in general, their willingness, their lack of willingness to engage, that sort of really is just industry standards specific information that a lot of people probably don't have access to. Could you share a little bit about that so we just have a grounding on the sort of the frame of mind or the mental space that a person typically is in if they do end up in one of these facilities?
Good question. People start their journey to recovery from different avenues. Perhaps it's a primary care office, maybe it's an emergency department, but it comes down to where they are in their recovery, the last time they used, the substances, the presence of mental illness. Statistically, 50% of people who have a substance use disorder also have a mental health disorder. And many times this is undiagnosed. I know this from my private practice. Mm-hmm. No one wants to abuse drugs and alcohol. It comes from a background where they have been abused, neglected. It comes from an untreated mental illness, and everyone can fall into the trap of self-medication.
Right.
And that can happen. This is not about people on Vashon having a lack of compassion because, mm-hmm. you know, from the minute you get off the ferry, even if you've been in line for an hour, you can feel the difference.
That is
why I'm officially diagnosing Vashonitis. that feeling that you have when you've been away from too long and you get the shakes.
Yeah.
And I know you're at Costco, you're getting your ciabatta bread, you're buying your roasted chicken for $4.99.
Right.
So these are the things that sustain us. Yes, but being away for too long, we start to miss what keeps us together. And what keeps us together is that overwhelming belief that all people are created equally and that all of us are due respect and love.
Mm-hmm.
So with that philosophy, we need to say it is unsafe to have a detox center on Vashon, because whether people enter into detox on Thunderbird Vashon voluntary, you know, I want help, I'm ready for it, or involuntary.
Which would be like court-ordered.
Court-ordered detox. Right. At the end of the day, medical detox is the same regardless of age, gender, race, because the body has a physiological response.
Right.
And we are risking the lives of people in that detox who are entering into detox, voluntary or involuntary, and they are expecting to be safe, and they will not be safe. I know this from managing a detox center, someone who arrives on a Monday completely voluntary, perfectly fine. By Monday evening, I've admitted them to the ICU after an epileptic seizure.
Well, real quick, let's speak to that, because there was a meeting recently at the Eagles Club, and you mentioned, this surprised me, because I would think that alcohol, given that it's legal, would be a safer chemical to recover from or go through, you know, detox, for lack of, for, I don't know if there's multiple words, but I'll just use that one for right now. Mm-hmm. And I would have thought that street drugs or illegal drugs would be the ones that had a harsher, what's it called when you're, there's the other, not the word detox, but people typically talk about when you go off of the drug and you, what's that called?
Withdrawal.
I would have thought that street drugs would have a harsher withdrawal. But you mentioned something about how actually it's with sudden withdrawal from alcoholism is actually medically more dangerous. What was that came up in the meeting?
Okay, so now you're talking my jam.
Okay.
Okay, so my doctoral thesis was a SAMHSA-sponsored guidelines for medical-assisted treatment called MAT. And the program that I managed was, it was drugs and alcohol in the sense that it was fentanyl, stimulants like methamphetamine, cocaine, mm-hmm. or even prescription medications like Xanax or Adderall.
Right.
Alcohol as well as fentanyl.
Right.
So on rare occasions where people monosubstance, just like, you know, just cocaine, you know, just alcohol, because for the most part,
that's probably rare, isn't it?
It is extremely rare.
Yeah.
So per my doctoral thesis, less than 15% of the people who entered into detox were just under the influence of one substance. Most of the time it's polypharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol in itself can cause a life-threatening illness called delirium tremens, and that is a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, long-term use of alcohol, we're looking at alcohol-induced dementia and actually the brain atrophies, mm-hmm. as well as the organs.
Right.
Including kidneys, heart, and
liver.
Liver, of course.
Right.
And when we're discussing drugs and alcohol, each person and each presentation is a different animal. And I can say this because you never know how each individual's detox will unfold. And the availability of a full-time emergency department, an ICU, nursing, psychiatrist, social worker, and therapist is an absolute necessity. Now, some people don't need it, and that's fantastic. But when they do, they need it right away.
Right. You had mentioned earlier that, like, so one of the things we'll be talking about today, folks, is zoning. And I'm going to just be really upfront here. I've lived on Vashon for 20 years, and there have been several community conversations about comprehensive community plans and zoning and things like this. And honestly, I have turned and run the other way every single time. It's just not something that's in my bailiwick. It's not something I feel comfortable with. It's not that I don't recognize the importance of it, but I've always said to myself, well, you know, a whole bunch of other smart people in this island who care are going to get involved, and I'm just going to trust them to handle it. So that's actually been how I have been around zoning issues up until now. This is my first time having a real reason to be curious about it. You know, part of this is because I am one quarter Cheyenne Cherokee, my mother's mother, my grandmother, who I grew up with, was born on the reservation in Oklahoma, and her grandmother had survived the Trail of Tears. So part of it is that, you know, ironically, actually, this lovely, beautiful white hair that I have comes from that heritage. And so to a degree, it is attracting my attention in that way. But I also come from a medical family. So I grew up while my mom was working in the ICU. And I used to get dropped off, and literally I would just wander around at like 11 o'clock at night as an 8-year-old, as a 9-year-old in the ICU and stuff like that, waiting for her to get off because it was way too dangerous to leave me home alone. And there was no one who could babysit me during this hour gap. Right. You know, so and then Gary got his medical degree and they had their own practice. And it's like I grew up. I can tell you when you're 13 years old and you're picking up medical magazines and they're talking about syphilis and gonorrhea and all this stuff, like those images are not fun. And they're like seared into my brain because that's what you have sitting around the house of a doctor. You know, it's like constant. Anyway, so I think about medical issues from the perspective of a person who has, I guess, maybe a little bit more understanding of some of the limitations and the pros and cons of the medical world. And then, of course, there's all these Uplift Northwest things that people put on their cars. You know, we all pay money. So because we fully recognize that's why we have what this hospital district or health, whatever they call themselves, with the taxing authority. And, you know, we have been trying to figure out for a long time, how do we meet the needs of Islanders when it comes to our health, our medical care, and our survival, especially in emergencies.
Right.
So for a second, let's dive sideways into just ambulances. Hey, folks, this is March Twisdale, and I just wanted to remind you that you are listening to our wonderful local island radio station, Voice of Vashon, at 101.9 FM, KVSH LP. This is my interview with Dr. Marley, who lives on the island, and if you listen to the beginning of the show, she does a great job of introducing herself and her incredible credentials. We're so lucky to have her here with me in the studio to talk about some of these details with regard to not just the Thunderbird facility that's been proposed for the VCCC facility, but also surrounding issues related to community development and how zoning has a sort of both a powerful and almost a brutal effect on the development of a community. It can be very positively powerful or it can be very destructive. So zoning is a lot more important than we sort of wish it would be because we really just want to go to work and, you know, live our lives and raise our kids and take care of our chickens. And we just, you know, want this beautiful island that we chose to live on, or we were blessed to be born here, to continue to be as amazing as it is in so many ways. But zoning changes can have massive effects. And right now there's a huge list, which I will read off at the end of this interview, of proposed changes that would bring so many of the problems that King County is dealing with in its citified areas straight over here onto Vashon, and it would do it almost immediately. So we are talking about mixed issues today here on the first of my Focus on Vashon shows, and I welcome you to the conversation. I'm grateful that you're here listening and encourage you to share this information-packed show with your friends and family and neighbors on the island. And now, back to the interview. You know, one of the things that often has been coming up for me, and I've only been on the island 20 years, so I'm still a relative newbie, but I feel like Vashon Island does have some generally shared core ethics and values. Most people who live here, probably 95% or more, would say proudly and with confidence that the health of the environment matters to them greatly. This is like the natural environment. I have friends who are Republicans. I have friends that are Mormons. I have friends that are atheists. I have friends all over the place who live on this island. And in conversations with all of them, at some point, they've talked about caring about the salmon or caring about, you know, water quality or you know, air quality or whatever. So most people feel that if something is going to be proposed, for example, Glaciers Northwest, you weren't here necessarily when that was exactly happening, but we had a gravel mine and a big corporation came in. They're like, we're going to chop off half of your island. I mean, I'm making an exaggeration, but not really. Blah, 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 blah. And eventually after 10 years, this island stopped that from happening. And one of the big things that mattered to islanders was that it was going to have a really, really negative effect on the environment. In particular, they were going to have these ships coming in and out, in and out. That was going to affect the eelgrass beds, where you have all these salmon that when they're small babies, they come down the rivers and they hang out in the eel beds, where it's harder for predatory fish to eat them. And they grow and they grow and they grow and they get big enough. Then I believe they actually head out into the ocean and come back later and go back up the stream, blah, blah, blah. So an environmental impact study is something that a lot of us would say, hey, you know, like even the, what's that you talked about it a minute ago? The, it was where they used to do the skis.
Oh, K2.
Yeah, K2. So even K2, right? One of the things about that is they did an environmental studies.
Right.
Impact, and they're like, oh, look, there's all this stuff going on here. So people in Vashon Island respect a careful evaluation of the impacts, the consequences, and the downstream effect of a project. Okay. And for me, when I've read information about Thunderbird and what's out there, what's available, whether it's the Seattle Times, whether it's the Beachcomber, whether it's their website, what I haven't seen is like a community impact evaluation. I haven't seen a robust attempt to predict the intended and unintended consequences of having the facility here on the island, both for patients of the facility, the success of the facility itself, and then the community. It's almost like they want to come in and build a gravel mine and not do an environmental impact study and just sort of tell us everything will be okay. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Exactly. So it's called a needs assessment. And the rules of community health are before you implement any project in a community, you start with people in the community, asking them, what do you need? There are some surveys being done here on Vashon, and recently it showed what do people need and want on Vashon. Number one, affordable housing.
Right. Absolutely.
Yes. Number two, ferries.
Mm-hmm. Reliable.
Reliable
on
ferries.
On time, consistent.
Yep. Number three, urgent care.
Mm-hmm.
After hours care was number five.
Mm-hmm.
Dog park, number six.
Okay. Right.
Detox, medical, psychiatric care didn't even make the top 10. So David Letterman would be very disappointed. Not even the top 10.
Right. Yeah.
So it was the absence of anyone in the community asking for it. And when this was proposed by an off-island entity, we'll call them a corporation because business is, politics is business.
Mm-hmm.
No one in the community was asked for their opinion, including local partners with Vashon Youth and Family Services, the Vashon Healthcare District, the ferry system, Sheriff's Department, the schools. There were zero community meetings. This dropped on us like bird poop. And then now that it's in our hair, we're combing it out and assessing, you know, what do we have here?
Mm-hmm.
Because before anything is implemented on Vashon, we need to think about what is the impact. You and I spoke recently about a restaurant. If one of the restaurants in Uptown closed and a restaurant replaced it, no big deal. Mm-hmm. However, if a business for which that location was not zoned for and was
we'll get into the zoning. Yep.
Was completely new on the island. We all would question, well, what is this? Do we need it? Is it safe? Mm-hmm. What sort of impact would it have?
Right.
And there's never been anything like this on Vashon in the past, and none of us have enough information to really to make a decision on it. And when we do ask questions, when we do have some opposition, it's that gaslighting that we receive from Seattle Indian Health Board, most specifically from Esther Lucera, who is both the CEO and president of Seattle Indian Health Board. When she is at these community meetings, mm-hmm. she dominates it with personal stories and glad-handing people trying to make this sound like a rosy complexion, when in fact she will never answer direct questions, and she also will not return. There have been multiple requests to have an open forum. Mm-hmm. And how is it that, you know, when people won't talk about something, and I know this from psychiatry, when they won't talk about it, they're mm-hmm. hiding something.
So, okay, so let's unpack a couple of those things here. So first, a lot of people, I mean, I am on a fast learning curve around this. I think a lot of us are, and some people are also receiving some really inaccurate information, actually. So a couple of things that I wanted to make sure people were aware of. A number of years ago in 2015, when Pramila Jayapal was working to support Bernie Sanders' campaign and was running for office herself, I went ahead and invited her to come to the island and be on the radio show with me, right? She'd actually written a book, so I had her on my Prose, Poetry, and Purpose show. And so I really felt like, especially since she was aligning herself with Bernie Sanders, who seemed to me to be a person who was like one of the common people, you know? Everyone knows that he rides in the normal seats, you know, in airplanes. He doesn't, you know, get a private jet or sit up in first class. And, you know, I had a feeling that if he approved of her and she approved of him, that they were cut from the same cloth, so to speak. And so I was really surprised when I discovered that with her support, this property was purchased for, I believe, $11 million. I could be off on that, but I'm pretty sure it's $11 million. And at the time that it was purchased, it was impossible for them to actually use the property for the Thunderbird Treatment Center because our zoning on Vashon doesn't allow for that to happen.
That's correct.
So they purchased property, put $11 million into a facility that they couldn't yet use based upon zoning. At the same time, Pramila Jayapal went to, you know, the federal government and said, hey, I've got these projects I want to work on, requested $20 million to help support the Thunderbird facility, only received $5 million towards that. Mm-hmm. And she's doing this while the facility cannot be developed because it's not zoned for existence. It's like it can't exist based upon current zoning, which tells me that if you're going to spend $11 million and if you're going to go to the federal government and request a bunch of tax dollars for a project, you're pretty darn confident that you're going to be able to move forward with that project, which currently you can't move forward with because of zoning. And that tells me that they were having private conversations along the lines of, don't worry, buy the property. We will make sure that the zoning is changed so you can do what you want to do there. And my elected representative, who I had on my radio show, whose campaign I helped support, whose fundraisers I went to on the island, was planning to change the zoning on my island for this facility to be able to exist, and had not spoken publicly to any of us, her constituents, about this, to mention it, say she's going to do it, or ask us if we were interested. The zoning of Vashon Island was basically for sale.
Yes, we have been sold a bill of goods, and Trina Mosqueda are
and there and I don't know, yes. And I don't know as much about her and her role. You've been more involved in those meetings, but I really want people to understand this facility was purchased when it based upon their contingency plan was we're going to change the zoning on Vashon, and to me there's an implication of, and we don't care if they want us to or not. We're going to do it no matter what. Who puts $11 million into a project if they actually believe that the islanders have a right to control their own zoning and will respect us if we say we don't want to change that zoning. You're not going to risk that money if you also really support self-government.
I would agree 100%. The fact of the matter is that there has been behind the scenes
stuff going on,
manipulation, deception, and it all starts with Teresa Mosqueda, who is our King County councilwoman, who has helped this happen for her own special interest. Because truly, if this facility were to serve Vashon people and for our interest, then it would have included us from the very beginning. But it has not to this day. If you are to email and to show any opposition to Teresa Mosqueda, I have sat in on a Zoom meeting with her, with other concerned Vashon community members, and I asked her personally. I said, we have never asked for a detox center. We have never asked for Thunderbird. What we do need is affordable housing.
Right.
Would you consider converting this project from Thunderbird into its already zoned residential,
keeping
it residential,
right,
and making it affordable housing?
Yeah. What was your memory of her response?
No.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, I understand that you have your agenda. I also would like to ask you to reserve 4 rooms minimum in your project to serve Vashon Dove. This project would allow for emergency housing for domestic violence survivors seeking asylum.
Right.
Because right now on Vashon, if you are trying to escape a domestic partner who is abusive, you literally have no place to go.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that needs such as this are not being addressed?
And you asked, could you set aside like a wing or some little section here for those people? And what was the answer?
No. Absolutely not. I also sent an email to one of her committee members who is in charge of housing, and no response.
I've been told by a person on the island who everyone knows this person, respects this person. This person's an amazing go-getter, but this person's not here, so I'm going to leave the name out. That I believe it was Vashon Household and this person and were collaboratively for 2 years trying to find a way to have the VCCC building repurposed into affordable housing. And for 2 years specifically, they worked on that. I think it was during the COVID window, and they had like states throwing billions of dollars everywhere, right? And what they needed, if I understand correctly, was there was a $5 million loan on the property that came with strings attached, which said you have to use it for, elderly care type of thing. And you can't change the purpose over to just affordable housing. But if you paid off that loan, then the strings went away. And anyways, they tried for 2 years. And I don't know if that means that at that point, someone had already started thinking that they wanted it for Thunderbird. But for some reason, they just couldn't get any support from the government for that. And then they gave up on that. But I think that if the community had been involved, this is the big thing. This is Vashon Island, right? We are involved because we know, why do we have Vashon be prepared? Because we know that if there is a massive disaster in the state of Washington, in the Seattle area, the mountain blows, something crazy goes on, we are about 3 weeks out before they're going to show up with helicopters and start dropping bottles of water on us. So we know that we have like a 3-week window before we become high enough on the priority list to get support. So Vashon, be prepared. Then you've got NEROs, Neighborhood Emergency Response Organizations, I think they're called. I'm not sure what the O's for. So this is Vashon. One of the effects of being surrounded by water is that you absolutely have to turn to your neighbor and you have to work together and you have to prepare. So if we had been invited to the table and involved, our different groups involved, and they had said, hey, what do we want to do with this facility? What's best? It wouldn't be a treatment center for mental illness and addiction conditions that is primarily designed to serve off-island individuals that is not what our island would have said, this is great, this is what we need.
I agree.
And so now we're faced with, so King County came in, and if I understand correctly, they have made a proposal for some zoning changes. I might read them out actually maybe in this interview a little bit later, but I wasn't planning to. Probably I'll include them. People, you can listen to this show here on Voice of Vashon, of course, but I can't give you the time because they're going to be floating this show series around. It'll be once a week. The best way to guarantee you hear it is if you only, you know, hear part of this and you're on your way to work and you want to catch the rest of the show, is you can go to my website, which is marchtwisdell.com, or you can go to Voice of Vashon, and you can go ahead and find it there. So I'll try to include the list of the zoning changes. But thankfully, according to the lawyer at the meeting at the Eagles on Monday, it's very normal for there to be constant community input on zoning proposals, and that those zoning proposals changing as a result of community input is normative. And even once the zoning is, whatever zoning we get to at the end of the year that gets approved at the beginning of 2025, it immediately goes into an appeal process. Mm-hmm. There's an automatic window for like all the people who suddenly go, wait, what are you doing? Right. So we have, I remember when I first moved here in 2004, the Army Corps of Engineers arrived on the island for a public meeting to discuss a proposal to build a bridge to Vashon Island. Okay, the Army Corps of Engineers wanted to build a bridge. This is a massively powerful group. Glaciers Northwest wanted to create a mine, right? Vashon showed up at that meeting. It was like 3,000 people. There were cars in every direction. The roads were flooded with people parked and walking in. And we said, absolutely, you're not building a bridge. And there's no bridge. And then people worked really hard for 10 years. And we have a $35 million preserve on Maury Island rather than a gravel mine. So Vashon has absolutely the ability to stand up and say, this is our home. This is where our children grew up. This is where we live. This is our life. And we are going to say yay or nay on these zoning decisions, because zoning should reflect what the people in the region want. If we were our own town, if we were incorporated into our own town, we would be making our own laws and decisions about these types of things. Instead, we go through the county because we're unincorporated King County. But the zoning should reflect what we want.
And clearly it doesn't.
No, well, these zoning proposals are really, really interesting. You know what? I'm going to pull them up. Why don't you go ahead and we've only got another 15 minutes. I'm thinking I'd like people to really understand the nuts and bolts of what happens in a facility like this, and what happens when a person decides they don't want to be there anymore.
Fair enough.
Go for it.
So, as the kids say, on the daily, there's quite a bit that goes on. And initially what we have is when someone is admitted, we do a full assessment. And that full assessment requires a full psychiatric evaluation as well as medical evaluation and a chemical dependency professional. This is done thoroughly when done in an emergency department, including full lab work, EKG, and possibly a chest x-ray. And sometimes people also need a CAT scan of their head. This is impossible to do in an outpatient facility. And also, we talk about staffing. When the Seattle Indian Health Board is discussing staffing this facility, I want you to consider the fact that we can't even fully staff the local grocery store. Now we're asking for literally hundreds of people to come every day off island to work at a medical detox center, which is often dangerous.
Well, you say hundreds. What do you mean? You mean like within a month period, or like list? Give us a sense of, I mean, I understand from another woman I've been speaking with who has been also an expert in her field for decades, and she may be writing for the Vashon Loop to explain a little bit about the staffing struggles they had at the VCCC, which was part of one of the reasons, right? So just folks, think about every time there's a ferry that doesn't run because one employee didn't make it. They're shy by one person, and so the boat doesn't run, right? But the boat is not halfway in the middle of passing from Fauntleroy to Vashon and suddenly decides, oh, we're in the middle. We're going to just stop now and sit here for 2 hours while all of you are stuck in your cars and sitting up on the deck. It's at the dock when it decides not to run. So you have the option to leave. You can go somewhere else, right? You still have, you're fine. You're annoyed you can't get on your boat, but you're okay. These people who are being brought into this facility who are in tremendous need of serious, absolute support for this crucial moment in their life that could turn everything around for them and alter their future. These people cannot just suddenly have their minimum required needs not being met. I mean, it'd be like being in the middle of the water and the ferry just suddenly says, oh, we're just going to stop here and sit for 3 hours because someone decided that, you know, they don't want to work anymore. I mean, you know, right. So if our ferries sometimes don't function because we're missing a staff member, what happens when people can't make it to Thunderbird and they don't show up on time or, you know, yeah.
Well, think of it like staffing a hospital. Could Vashon Island staff a hospital?
Probably not.
Absolutely not.
We're struggling to staff our right. local health clinic.
Well, absolutely not.
The vet office.
Yes, the vet office.
I mean, they've really struggled. They had to stop doing surgeries for a number of months because, yeah, exactly. No, staffing is an issue.
Yeah, staffing will be an issue because I am the only psychiatric prescriber living and working on Vashon. So if we're talking about a detox center, it's 24/7 physicians, nurses, social workers, therapists, all of which are very expensive mm-hmm. and all of which need transportation. None of which can actually live on Vashon because we know we also have an issue with having enough housing and affordable housing. Mm-hmm. So now we're asking for staff. And to answer your question about staff ratios, it also depends on the type of facility that it is. But on average, it's a 1-to-3 ratio. So one,
oh, wow.
there are, and do you think about the
wait,
service?
1-to-3 meaning one staff for every 3 individuals who's being served by the facility?
No, the opposite. Per every one client, there are 3 staff members because you also have to consider cooks, janitorial, and then, of course, Esther Lucera mentioned
cleaning.
Her very famous mm-hmm. armed security guards. So
in addition to
the Gatling guns and the ammo, we also need to import everything from nursery school teachers and perhaps even teachers themselves, because one of the patient populations that
she suggested
was nursing and pregnant women and their children.
Right.
So now we're asking to pull resources from the schools, and if they're not available, then Seattle Indian Health Board will need to bring in teachers.
Well, and this is all to say, here's the funny thing. This is the thing that's really important for everyone to understand. Every person I've talked to who is concerned about Thunderbird being on Vashon loves the idea of what Thunderbird wants to do. Who does not want to have a facility that offers the beautiful and unique cultural healing ambiance that they want to bring forward from Indigenous cultures? Who does not love the idea of women who are pregnant, nursing, and have young children being able to get care while their children remain with them rather than the children having to go into foster care or somewhere else and be separated from their parent, right? So no one is against this idea. It's a beautiful dream and it's completely achievable. I would imagine humans can do amazing things, but location, location, location when it comes to real estate is for a lot of reasons. So if we want this facility to be successful, if we're like super supportive of it, why would we curse it with all of the struggles and limitations that come with all these unique aspects of getting people to and from the island? It's almost like they are being set up to struggle and fail rather than succeed through placement.
No, I would agree. And any facility would want to be successful, both for the clients within it and the community. However,
right.
this will be a disaster because it would be like if a child had autism and dyslexia and you put them in advanced placement English.
Right.
Just the struggle that it would involve and the defeat isn't worth it. And you are absolutely correct. Everyone on this island wants for the general welfare of other people. That
right.
That is what makes Vashon unique. In an area of the world that's referred to as the Seattle Freeze, where people won't look at you in the eye.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest.
In the Pacific Northwest,
very interesting.
The ice runs in the veins. Vashon is not like that. Mm-mm. You're driving your car, you're waving to your neighbors, mm-hmm. you're helping someone with their groceries. You may even give someone a ride. People mm-hmm. hitchhike on this island. You
oh,
know
yeah.
how rare?
I do.
Yes.
I do.
I made my husband promise I wouldn't pick up any more hitchhikers. I apologize. If you see me in my car waving, I can no longer pick you up.
Aww.
I know. It's poor placement. And
yeah.
the real question is, why? What is the incentive? What mm-hmm. is the agenda of the Seattle Indian Health Board, whether it's Mosqueda, Lucero, whomever? Why would this be? Why? Why here and why now?
My best guess was that, and this is literally a guess, I just was thinking, well, it's like there was this one comment that the president CEO Lucero made when she was being interviewed by the Seattle Times. And she said basically that I'm going to get pretty close to the quote. This is like really close to accurate. She said that she wanted people to imagine those really nice sort of elite boutique, beautiful high-end drug rehab centers that the famous and wealthy people of Hollywood go to. And that's what they wanted this facility to be. So if you want to be an elite sort of, what's the word for it? Basically, you know, it's almost like you're marketing
boutique.
If you want that, mm-hmm. honestly, as a backdrop, Vashon looks beautiful.
Yes.
You know, you're going to be able to show pictures of fairies, and there's the mountain in the background, and there's trees everywhere, and they're right next to that trail that goes down to Shingle Mill. And I mean, we look on that way very, very beautiful. But what I care about is the success of the treatment center, the health of the patients, the adequate emergency care when someone's having a really rough time. And if we were what we are, but on the mainland and, you know, a 18-minute fast, you know, drive away, there's a big, beautiful hospital, you know, and maybe this would be a better fit.
Yes, absolutely. It's poor product placement. Just like when you go into the grocery store, you know, you see, you know, beautiful flowers, you see the newspaper, you pick them up.
Yeah.
But you do not place something like that. You cannot mindfully place a drug and alcohol detox in a rural community isolated on an island. It is a recipe for disaster. And the problem is that politicians will be hundreds of miles away, clinging champagne glasses and patting themselves on the back about their success. Mm-hmm. However, it will be the clients inside of the medical facility and the people in the community who will see the ramifications, this negative effect of people not being able to stay sober, to recover, to accomplish what they wanted to. And I know there are people on the island who are in favor of Thunderbird. And what I would ask them is, how much do you really know individually about managing a detox?
Right.
And secondarily to that, is that possible on Vashon? You would need to import everything you needed
right.
to Vashon to make that successful at triple the price versus if this
right.
facility were inland within 30 minutes of an already existing hospital, close already to any other facility. They're reinventing the wheel.
Well, and it's interesting because there are a couple of people who, at least one person who's actually was at Thunderbird at one point, and this person happened to be one of those people who did not, you know, relapse back into, and, you know, and but the interesting thing is when this person who was on their website, so he's self-stating it, was at the Thunderbird facility, it was in Seattle. It wasn't on an island. Now, he himself may have not needed transport to one of the nearby hospitals. He himself may have not needed that support, But there would have been people in that facility all around him who were getting that care at 1 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., whenever it was. And so his success doesn't mean that it's still a good idea to place a vulnerable population on an island where everyone who lives here understands we accept reduced access to medical care as a condition of living on this island.
Yes.
No one comes to Vashon and is not told by their real estate agent who's helping them buy a house, oh, there's this thing called Uplift Northwest, you know, because we have all these conditions that'll make it hard and you're going to die if you don't get on that helicopter and get flown to that hospital type of thing. So it is a, and there are people who, depending upon their medical needs, sometimes decide to leave the island. They get older, they have certain, you know, issues, and they go, you know, we're going to retire over in Ruston. We're going to go somewhere so we're closer to medical care. Mm-hmm. This is a very real aspect of island living. I want to read really quick, folks, the new zoning. Now, these are what's the word? Proposed zoning changes to Vashon Island, to where you live, which include to allow, so this is a list of things that will be allowed: drug rehab hospitals, psychiatric hospitals, car camping, both homeless and recreational, no conditions cottage housing, 12 units per acre, drug stores, lot splitting, drug rehab outpatient, micro shelter villages, department and variety stores, new rural neighborhood commercial centers, mixed-use development in rural neighborhoods, and more. So if anyone is familiar with how West Seattle looked 20 years ago and what has happened in the Junction over the past few years, this is just sort of an example of how very, very rapidly growth can come to a community in ways that they are unprepared for, and we have both a right and a responsibility to be paying attention, because 20 years from now, Vashon will be the result of what we do right now with regard to our engagement with this, these zoning proposals being brought to us by King County. And so what's the website that they have? What's Katie's website?
Good Neighbor of Vashon.
Ah, goodneighborofvashon.com?
I believe so.
All right, okay. There is a website you can go to get involved. And yes, goodneighborvashon.org. And this is a group of islanders who care about all the complexity of this issue. And go ahead and check it out, get involved. And Marley, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much, Marsh.
I am just incredibly grateful that you and your husband decided to move here, because you bring such a wealth of information on this specific topic. And one of the best things about Vashon is that we are an island filled with so many people who have so much value to offer. And I just love the show and the radio station here and being able to get information out there on the airwaves for people.
Absolutely.
All right, folks, you've been listening to my not new show, but the rebirth of what was called Focus On. And so for the next few months or maybe a year, it's going to be Focus On Vashon specifically. And you're listening to 101.9 FM, KVSHLP. This is Voice of Vashon. I am March Twisdale. Thank you for your time. And check out goodneighborvashon.org.